Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
7:03 on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift. I am Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Beau Morgan. You made it to Friday. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Here are the headlines before you head out. The Hawks play tonight in Denver, taking on the Nuggets. Pre-game is at 8:30 right here on 92.9 The Game. Tip is set for 9. We've got the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl at Mercedes-Benz. Oregon and Indiana will face off at 7:30. Miami beat Ole Miss last night in the Fiesta Bowl, 31-27. And yesterday, Arthur Blank spoke with the media on the future of the Falcons. Here is Arthur talking about Jeff Ulbrich's future with the organization.
In my view, he did a really fine job for us this year. Certainly look at the record of sacks and just the overall performance of the defense was definitely better than it's been in the past. And you can't dictate to a new head coach, who their coaches are going to be. But I certainly would recommend to a new head coach that they consider Jeff based on his track record, not only here, but his track record before with us in Atlanta. Then he went to New York, and his experience there for certainly a couple of years was at the very top of the league, too. So, I would certainly recommend somebody consider him. But it's not something we can require or mandate. The right head coach is going to want to put together their own staff. And they'll be working closely in this case. It's not the president of football. Won't do the head coach's job, but it'll have a working partner who has great football knowledge in that position that they can help build the staff with.
Every time they talk about the president of football, it cracks me up because they go out of their way to say that they're interviewing for it, but then everything they say literally lines up to one person who we all know in this room. I think it's pretty cut and dry. He was literally asked, Would you tell the new coach that would you have the new coach retain Jeff Ulbrich?
Yeah.
And he said, I can't mandate that. It's not something you mandate.
He said, I can't dictate. Yes, exactly.
But I would recommend it if asked, yes, because he's done a great job. And if you're going to keep Ulbrich, you would obviously keep Nate Oley and Jacquees Smith, who they get lost in the fray. Nate Oley might be one of the best defensive line coaches in football when it comes to teaching guys how to get after the quarterback. What about that statement sounds like meddling? What about that statement says he's dictating it? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Agreed.
And when people go, well, then why did you deny Jeff Ulbrich the right to interview with Dallas as their DC? Because you won't. Your head coach, first off, you did it Ryan Nielsen, and then you ended up allowing Nielsen to go interview with Jacksonville before.
Sure.
Right? I think you maybe knew that Raheem was one of the finalists, or maybe him and Mike McDonald, somebody that found that they were going to do their own thing. But you want to give that person the first right of refusal. You have him in the building. You have him under contract.
Yeah, that's the proper term, right of first refusal, which is a contractual term in a lot of different ways, but it definitely applies to this situation. I've made my feelings on this clear. I put it out after last Sunday's victory against New Orleans. I was like, I don't care what else has to happen around here. You have to consider keeping Ulbrich as part of this franchise, no matter what it means for anybody else. And I think that the way things match up and the way he talked about it, I thought he answered it. In my opinion, he answered it perfectly.
I do too.
There's going to be some back and forth. There's going to be people that read the quotes or whatever. I thought he answered it perfectly. That's exactly what I would have said. I would go one step further. I would actually, if I were Arthur, and maybe this is wrong, maybe this is meddling, but if I were conducting head coaching interviews, I would say, what are your thoughts on Jeff Ulbrich? What are your thoughts on the defensive coordinator position? And if the answer is, well, I might want to hire this guy or that guy, I would say, what do you think is the difference between him and Jeff Ulbrich? I want to hear a reason why you wouldn't retain Jeff Ulbrich. Because to me, if you're saying you don't want to retain Jeff Ulbrich, I need a good reason why, because he's done an incredible job. And if somebody else is running some different system that suddenly is supposed to fit our team, What system is that?
Well, and here's the pushback from me on what you're saying. It's the system, because your defense is built for Jeff Ulbrich's system. Jeff Ulbrich's not the only person that runs a similar system. Now, just like Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan's offense and what Shanahan wants to do, where Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay and O'Connell and Clint Kubiak and all these guys have taken and added their own little something to it. Mike McDaniel's another one. You know, it's the Pete Carroll defense that Dan Quinn got, that Raheem Morris kind of uses, that Jeff Ulbrich uses. So to me, it would be a system-based question.
Yeah.
Jeff Ulbrich has ran this system. This is what works for – this is where we got the most sacks out of, blah, blah, blah. What's your system? How does it match up with that system that Ulbrich has ran, and how would you utilize this personnel to get a similar – try to get a similar result?
Yeah, and just to be clear, there needs to be pieces added to Jeff Ulbrich's scheme, the personnel. Right, you need a run plugger on the defensive line. There needs to be other pieces. I'm not saying that. Defense isn't perfect. But I think we can all agree he got more out of the personnel involved with the draft picks that he got than any of us ever envisioned. So that's kind of where I'm stuck at on this.
And one's from draft picks he wasn't here for.
Exactly.
Well, there's another piece of the presser that I want to play from Arthur yesterday when he was addressing getting more efficient with drafting and staff building.
A little bit surprising was the lack of clarity on, about the vision for the team. And that's, you know, that's in any business, in any industry. We don't have clarity around vision about what you're trying to establish and trying to build. You could end up with a lot of disparate parts, everybody moving in different directions. And that means you're not only unsuccessful or partially unsuccessful, but you could be very inefficient. As laser focused as you can be in terms of exactly what you want to do, you're going to make better selections of players, coaches, coaching staff.
Make no mistake about it. When you line up all these president of football, I'm not going to add the operations because he asked us not to, all right, the first question in that meeting should be, and probably is, what is your vision for your football team? Mm-hmm. And that is lining things all the way up from the top and making sure that no matter who the GM is that's picking players, no matter who the head coach is that's running this scheme, that game, the offensive coordinator – the vision has to be lined up from the top down. We've said this till we are blue in the face. Over the last 3 years I've been doing the show, that's what we've talked about, how this piece doesn't match that piece. I can go draft Kyle Pitts. Sure, he could be a great player given the certain scheme. I can sign Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins might be great in a certain scheme. Chris Lindstrom might have gone to 4 Pro Bowls. Does he match up with what we want to do and what we want our identity to be as a franchise, as a football team? It ought to be question number one. And I'm glad that whatever Sportology or Sportsology had to say lined up with that, because I've had questions about it for years, and suddenly it's like, you know what? This is not part of what our process has been. We need to get that corrected, and they seem to be on the right track at least.
It's why when you asked me, Allie, on Monday, did you think it would be one or the other? And I was like, it doesn't make any sense. If you're gonna get rid of one, you get rid of both. It's why... Like, it didn't make any sense to fire Terry and keep Raheem, because you're literally doing exactly what you've done to this roster. Now you're mixing and matching people, and you're putting a GM in there with this guy, his head coach. And so what, Raheem's a lame duck coach? Because you don't know what the quarterback situation is? Because, you know, we don't know when Penix is going to be back. I mean, it sounds to me like they think Penix has a good chance to be back for the start of the season. I'm just saying what it sounds like. I'm not saying they're saying that. I'm just saying, I think that's optimism. That's the problem with the way the teams are built. It is the one issue I do have with best player available. Because I think sometimes best player available is people say, well, best player available is this guy, but is that the best player available for your system? And that's why I think there's clarity. But it's why when he heard that, that is why they're adding a football president or president of football, whatever the hell you want to call it. Is they want one guy to say, sit down with the GM and the coach, and that's going to be the people that you hire or have say in hiring, final say, I guess, and say, this is what we want to look. you know, you're going to get with those guys, and the three of y'all come up with a vision as far as what you want to put on the, you know, put on the field. Because to me, and look, we're not in 2000, we're not in 1979 anymore, where the GM goes and picks players and says, these are the players you have, you go win with them, to the coach.
Sure.
It's the GM, whoever hires the coach, which is the president or the GM, I think it's, you know, it's probably going to be something in unison. They go, okay, coach, what type of player are we looking for? What fits your system? Is it a 340-pound guard or is it a 305-pound guard, you know, offensive line-wise? Right? If you want to run rod zone or whatever.
Yeah.
Or do you want a little bit mauler? Are you fine? Whatever. You know what I'm saying. Do you want smaller defensive linemen that attack and get upfield, or do you want space eaters?
But and I'll give a little bit of pushback. I don't want them to ask the coach. I don't want that. Whoever the president of football is, I don't want
I'm talking
to ask
about the GM.
Coach. Yeah, I think the president of football, from my understanding or what I hope happens, is that he's the one that is dictating what that's going
to
look
like. Let
me
rephrase
it
then. Aren't you going to hire a guy that runs some
runs what your vision
you can't
is.
But see,
yes,
you can't
I agree yeah.
But see that but see here's the thing, you can't dictate what you shouldn't be, you don't want to dictate everything if the owner, but how much does the president dictate? Does the president hires the coach that runs a system he wants to run and then says, and I would like to this defense ran, or does he say, look, this is what we fit right now, we're trying to win, we have a roster we think is good enough to win with, we need to run these type of systems, and you hire the, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
that's, no, I think the vision has, but the vision does have to be clear, and it does come from him. It doesn't come from the owner. It doesn't come from anybody else.
I agree.
The whole thing where I felt like yesterday, some people were still trying to bring, I don't know what you heard, but I heard Arthur, when he answered the Rich McKay question, he said his schedule has limited what he's done. And it sounded to me like he almost was saying he's been an absentee landlord as a CEO, and that led to the lack of vision. I'm not blaming Rich, but it sounded like there's been too much. And then you heard
that's interesting. It's not what I heard, but that's an interesting take.
But then I heard people trying to bring Rich back into the foil, like, oh well, he's going to be this, right? He's going to be that, right? And Arthur was like, no, he's doing this.
Yeah, you heard it in the first part of his Conte interview. He's like, let me be very clear before I even go any further.
Yeah.
He's not going to be part of any football decision-making.
But then we heard, like, there's always people in press conferences that got to be the smartest guy in the room. They want to ask five-part questions, and they try to trick him into saying, well, but Rich will be part of this, though, right? And he's like, no. Like, guys.
I heard him say, for the third time, I will be clear. And I was like, good for you, Arthur. Good for you. We are going to continue to unpack Arthur's time with the media yesterday throughout the show. Coming up next, wildcard round gets started for the NFL. Tomorrow, we'll cover those games next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning. It is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I am Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan at 7:23. Before we get to In the Huddle, I don't know what's going to happen when baseball season comes around, because 9 Major League Baseball teams, including the Braves, have terminated their deals with FanDuel Sports Network.
This whole thing's been an absolute dumpster fire, right? Since it started. The Diamond Sports Group, whatever else is going on with that. I mean, this has been an ongoing saga for like 2 years now. I think it started with the Diamondbacks initially, or one of the teams out west that kind of had things topple, and they ended up going to MLB. MLB brought a bunch of broadcasting stuff in-house. Essentially, when the Diamondbacks and the relationship they had with their regional sports network went away, you started being able to watch it as part of MLB.TV, I believe.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's kind of the backup plan, but it ain't good. It ain't good.
They have to figure it out pretty soon.
No doubt.
Yeah. I mean, and I wonder, you know, because didn't it went on Prime too? Like, it was it Prime or Apple that you could pay like per by the team package, and you could watch the games, and it was all through FanDuel. It was like a thing that FanDuel had. I'm just confused on what this happened. See, this is where the Braves have been screwed a little bit, because the Dodgers have an outrageous TV deal.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Sox have an outrageous TV deal. The Yankees have the YES Network. The Red Sox have NESN, right? Braves have a crappy TV deal. Let's just be honest about it. And it looks like it's getting crappier by the day. And it's gone now, essentially. So what are you going to do? Is there a local that wants to step in and take it? I just don't know where we go. And there's a lot of people that have been impacted through the years by, you know, what was at one point in time like Sports South, and then it turned into something else, and then it turned into FanDuel, because you've gotten TV packages or streaming packages strictly to watch the Braves and the Hawks, and now it's all up in the air. Do you
think there's any chance that they would start their own network? Like the Cubs did this like 10 years ago.
That's what I'm wondering.
Marquee Sports Network.
I don't, because I don't think Liberty Media would sink money into it like that. I don't think you got to remember Liberty Media is Liberty Media wanna.
They would have to see a return.
They just keep running into walls. So why not try something different?
And they have a gigantic fan base.
Well, your goal is to go get somebody to sign you, like, you know, that. I would think that they could do what I would like to think is that, because I think they still own TBS Liberty Media. I'm not sure if they sold TBS, or I'm not really sure where that went, but I know TBS and TNT and all them are part of like HBO. I don't know, Time Warner,
yeah.
But I don't know if Liberty Media and Time Warner split officially, but I'd like to see that come back, because then because people all across the United States are really in baseball America's team, thanks to the TBS thing. So I just don't know how it works, but here's my problem if they did that is I'm like, okay, well, we saw how the batteries were still seemingly being punished for the battery. You know, they say that you're going to use it to spin, but because of the money that you owe on the battery, Liberty Media, you know, you don't necessarily get all the spending that you would hope to get from that. So I wonder how that would affect the team and how it's ran. I just don't think they would put the money into it. I still think that they pinch pennies when it comes to the Braves, and we know that with some of the spending they do on the field. So, no, I don't think they would do that. I think they want someone to pick it up and pay for it, but I just don't know where you go.
Well, I think that, you know, you do whatever you do and you contract it out the same way like NBA TV used to be done and things like that. There's somebody probably listening right now that knows way more about this kind of thing than we do.
Right.
But I just think it would be really cool to have, you know, a Braves network, because I think that they are that big of a brand when it comes to Major League Baseball, and it would make a lot of sense. I don't know for Liberty Media that it does, like he said, but
right.
It'd be cool.
I hope whatever happens, we keep to keep Brandon Galdon in CJ.
That was my curiosity, is like, who signs their checks? And so are they going to be following the team? I don't know.
I'm almost positive that they're paid by the Braves.
Okay.
Almost positive.
I tend to lean towards the fact that the Braves have say in who it is, but that the network pays them.
Got it.
That's where I tend to lean. I'm not sure if I'm right.
This being a talking point when this happened with the Diamondbacks, because they were like, who's going to pay? Because the Diamondbacks essentially had to bring all of it in-house and make it available on MLB TV. That's how they got their games out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that being a point of contention. It might be different for every franchise, but I remember that being a point of contention. It was like, are the broadcasters going to be the same? And it was like, yes, their broadcasters are paid by the team. So, but maybe it's different.
And it works different, like different places, because, you know, I mean, it just depends on it. But I tend to believe that the team had this final say in who – what the talent was, but that maybe the network pays. But I could be off. I don't know.
Well, things need to get figured out soon. A spring training is coming up. I think pitchers and catchers report in like 31 days or something like that.
Do you have a countdown clock in your house?
Listen, my life's about to get crazy. It gets crazy in the Cauley household when baseball season boots up. And don't forget, you can always listen to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. It is free. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, there was another firing. Mike McDaniel has been released from the Dolphins. So now do we believe that they did not call John Harbaugh, or did they?
Oh, I'm doubling down.
They did.
Because, you know, Stephen Ross is a huge donor of what college? Michigan. I think he's an alumnus there, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Harbaughs have ties to where? Michigan. I know Jim played there. I don't know. I don't think John did, but I know that there's the family is tight. I absolutely believe. And I think there's two things happening here. If one, Harbaugh came open, and two, Stephen Ross met with Mike McDaniel and was like, yeah, I'm good.
That's more where my brain veered. I was like, I don't know that this means that Harbaugh was they were in contact with or whatever. I don't know. That's a whole other conversation. If I'm John Harbaugh, I'm like, yeah, I'm good on that. That whole situation y'all got going on.
No, but what if we had to go down there and run it, though? Because they don't
I think he's
going
to have the opportunity to do that at seven different places, though. You know, I think that's part of the conversation. But to kind of, you know, bring it all home, I am of the opinion that Stephen Ross met with Mike McDaniel and was like, dude, it is not going well. Like, I don't know what I expected out of this meeting, but we've all seen his press conferences, his interviews.
Yeah.
Can imagine what that must have looked like after the season finished. And, you know, you're asked about the future vision of the team and how things are going to change. And I can't even imagine how those answers must have sounded, what, 3-4 days removed from the season? We were actually at the Arthur Blank press conference yesterday when the news started popping up on everybody's phone. It was like, oh, man, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's up with the timing of that?
Well, we have reached the wild card round. The Rams are taking on the Panthers on Saturday at 4:30.
This game, and I mentioned it, it's a 10-point spread. Panthers beat the Rams not that long ago. And I think the expectation with the, you know, with the team that's under 500 and the Rams are Super Bowl favorites for a lot of people, anything can happen, specifically when you talk about home games. I think it's going to be a better matchup than people are giving it credit for right now.
Oh, it'll be a good game because Carolina has a style of play that when they're on as a whole team, they're playing complimentary football. They bring the game to a screeching halt. They want to dink and dunk and run the football. And defensively, they obviously want to win in the trenches because they have a pretty good trench.
Yeah, they do.
Line. I mean, they're pretty good in the defensive line. Mike Jackson's been a pretty good DB. For them, although I don't think they can cover a healthy Davante Adams or a Puka, but that's just me. But I think Mike Jackson has a good chance. But the styles make fights. The style they play, if they are on, matches up well with what the Rams do.
I think it's important for Carolina to get an early score because I think that if they have to start playing from behind and Bryce is trying all of a sudden having to throw the ball a bunch of times, that's not the matchup they want to play.
Kind of what happened in that Seattle game. With them when they played Seattle,
yeah, exactly.
Seattle got a little bit of a lead on them, and they were chasing points.
Yep.
Also tomorrow, the Packers will take on the Bears at 8:00.
This is the best one of the weekend.
If we can get a healthy Jordan Love or Malik Willis,
yes, it's the best one of the weekend. Just simply from a historic standpoint of what those two teams are, what they have been, how much they dislike each other as franchises, and you know what's on the line for both of these teams. That are trying to kind of hit that next level where they've been, you know, Chicago hasn't been here, but Green Bay, I think there's a lot of pressure to kind of win a playoff game at some point, right? And kind of move forward and make a Super Bowl run. So we'll see.
How about the Bills taking on the Jags Sunday at 1?
This is interesting because everyone is going to blame Sean McDermott if Buffalo loses. I think Buffalo being in this position shows Sean McDermott's a pretty good coach. Offensively, they are Josh Allen and James Cook. Defensively, they've lost quite a few guys over the years because of money and guys aging out. And their defense has been better than people think through the last half of the season. I mean, they've won them some games with scoring. So, and the Trevor Lawrence thing is Liam Cohen really got Trevor Lawrence turned around? And they've done. Jacksonville's done all of this, Mike, With the third or fourth overall pick in the draft, not even playing most of the year.
That's
Hunter.
Liam Cohen's another reason that I want an offensive play caller here as the head coach. I mean, it just is point blank, plain and simple. That's how you get the most out of your team in a short fashion. I think it's going to be a good matchup. These are two teams, I think, that right now, they'll have completely different bars of where they need to get to. Like, I think if Jacksonville loses, Liam Cohen and company are like, oh, yeah, you know, hey, we're building something. We love where we've come.
Mm-hmm.
If Josh Allen and McDermott, they lose this game, it's like, dude, you really missed your window. You know what I mean? Like, you completely fell flat on your face.
Well, coming up, we're going to get the final pick records from the guys. Preview the Peach Bowl. And it is Fair or Foul Friday, so chew on this for a moment. Mike McDaniel will take an interview of some kind in Atlanta over the next month.
Ooh.
That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I am Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan's hanging out behind the glass. Congratulations, you did make it to Friday. This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. We do have Fair or Foul coming up in a moment. But Dylan, you've got some unfinished business to handle.
I do. I do want to just quickly close the book on a successful year for our fellas, Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, and just give you all a round of applause for a great job that I didn't want to give that to. Specific round of applause.
I thought it was going to be an applause.
It was. Here it is. I just want to give you all a round of applause for a successful season that y'all had making y'all's picks. Here is the final tally. Mike, you went 35-28-1. Bo, you finished 33-31. You should be proud of yourselves.
I'll take that. What's the winning percentage?
I don't know. I don't know. All I know is there's more money in my pocket at the end of the season than the beginning of the season. Because we ended over 500. 35-28 is probably like 543 or something.
I genuinely do not know, but I'll take it either way.
The final record was 68-59-1, if my math is correct, combined record between you two. And so I have to do more math to see what that winning percentage was. But, yeah, it was good. It's good, though.
Well, we
over 500.
Show.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and there's a lot of football left to be played, but obviously with the, you know, the playoffs going on and things like that, things start to get a little wonky. But yeah, it's been a fun season picking a lot of these games. And I think the best part about the fact that we finished with a winning record is simply from the fact that you've had to deal with the landscape in college and in the NFL. Both of them this year were the traditional powers in college, and the traditional powers in the NFL have not been what they have in the past. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs were not good this year, which is crazy. You look at Lamar Jackson, not in the playoffs. Joe Burrow in and out. I mean, there's been a bunch of NFL quarterbacks that have been up and down. And then you go all the way back to college football and you look at some of the traditional, look at the semifinal games. I mean, the traditionals have not been what they have been. So I'll give us a slight pat on the back and kind of bringing that home and saying, you know what, man, it was a crazy year, but we were able to at least keep our head above water.
If you do the winning percentage calculator and you move the decimal, if I'm not mistaken, you'd be a 547 winning percentage.
I'll take that.
Not too shabby.
Mine.
I don't know if it's in the money, but it's above 500. I'll take
mine.
It
would be 515, I think.
Okay.
So if you're, it's 51. Mine would be 51.5%, and yours would have been 54.7%, I believe.
Yeah.
So
I can't remember what the number is to get in the money, because you have to think that when you lose game, you have to pay the juice. So you don't necessarily I think you have to be at like 54. I guess you'd have to probably be at 53 or 54 to be in the money. Maybe it's even higher than that. I don't know, but Yeah, so I'll just take I'll take the win and run.
That's
with
too
it.
Much math for me.
Allie and right. I, we are here right now. I was like, we are talking about way too much math.
I went
right
into radio, y'all. No.
Yeah, I was gonna, but I mean,
I only had to take college algebra. That was it.
Anybody that wagers, all right, on sports knows that you if you go 500, you've lost money. You
right.
know what I mean? So like, because the juice has to come into play at some point. So yeah, I mean, like I said, I'll take that and run with it, just knowing that I just didn't get. Absolutely smacked when it comes to the wagering.
Well, I want to talk about the Peach Bowl for a second. We do have Indiana and Oregon tonight. But there was something interesting I noticed between the two of you this week. Mike, you were saying the other day, I feel like we're all pulling for Ole Miss. And then Bo, on the other side of it, was like, I kind of think we're all pulling for Indiana. So
interesting.
And I took issue with you saying we're all pulling for Ole Miss because I was not pulling for Ole Miss.
Really?
They beat my team.
You should pull for him then.
Indiana.
No, I hate that thought process.
No, yes. That's the way you should. So,
y'all don't like the thought process of if at least we lost the championship.
No,
like
if I'm going to lose, I want to lose the
if
eventual championship.
If you beat my
team,
I hate them.
You should be pulling for Indiana.
No, but that's not. That's you're the one that said that was your thought process, not me. You said. I think that the reason you're not pulling for Ole Miss is the reason you should.
I don't agree with that.
I'm pulling for Ole Miss because their coach left them.
I just thought it was interesting that you said we're all rooting for Ole Miss, and then Bo is saying we're all rooting for Indiana, and it was just interesting.
I wanted to see them both get there and play each other, and I was pulling for Ole Miss when last night, not because their coach left them, but because their coach essentially played the ex says she wants to break or you're dating somebody, and they say the one will break up, and then they're like. But you know what? Like, but let's hang out. And then it's like, no, we're not going to hang out. And like the play in the mind games or anything, that's what Lane Kiffin pulling the running backs coach and the other coach a day before they played in the Fiesta Bowl was is female doggish as you're going to get. All right. Let's just put it like that. And that was some BS. Lane Kiffin was a guy that I couldn't stand. When he took the Tennessee job because of the way he talked and the way he acted, and I grew to like him. And in a month, he has destroyed all of that. Not because he went to LSU. I don't care that he picked LSU over Florida. None of that bothers me. What bothers me is the way he's acted the last month. It's bothered me a lot.
There's a caveat, too, that makes it even worse is that he was getting a bonus for every game that they won. At that, and I'll go down that rabbit hole with you, Bo. That's like when your ex breaks up with you and then hits you up like a week later and is like, hey, can I get the Netflix password? You know what I mean? Like, I know that I said I didn't want you, but I want all the benefits of being around you.
You want me to tell a personal story real quick?
Sure.
Dating this girl, you know, pretty serious. Put her on the cell phone plan.
Oh, snap.
I'm paying.
No, that's friends and family?
I'm paying for the cell phone. Remember, I worked for a cell phone company when I started in radio. You remember this.
I do.
I'm guessing it wasn't an iPhone, just timing-wise.
No, it wasn't. And out of nowhere, we just Splitsville, you know. And but it wasn't complete contact cut off, right? So I leave the cell phone on and everything. Well, I get a hint that I was... There was somebody else, and that and that she was basically cheating on me while we were together.
Oh, snap.
So
you have access to all the phones.
So I pull the cell phone
right. Oh,
I knew it.
Yes. Yes.
I love
yes,
this.
Yes, Bo.
Pettiness.
She's getting so messy.
Yes, Bo.
Not going to say the phone company I was working for at the time, but my buddy still worked there, and I find out that she was straight up, I tracked the number. So you know what I did?
Did you call the number?
No.
Oh.
Text my buddy and say, hey, man, you at work? Yeah. Last four digits of the number, I go, make that SIM card inactive.
There you go.
Let's go.
And he goes, yeah. I go, yeah. I told him. He knew what was going on, so I told him. He goes, done.
Love it.
Get a Facebook message 20 minutes later. Blankety blank, blah, blah, blah. I was like, you used the cell phone that I bought and paid for to cheat on me? You're crazy as hell if you think I'm gonna let you keep it.
Let's go.
There ain't no way in hell you're gonna use my cell phone that I pay for that you use to cheat on me with to literally live your life. I was like, ain't my. made all these times. I said, none of that's my problem.
Crazy,
we don't have ties anymore. None of that's my problem.
Did she ever give you a reason why things went Splitsville so quick? Did she write you a John Deere letter?
No.
A John Deere letter?
The reason was she was an habitual cheater. That's
there you
what
go.
It was.
Okay.
Well, I found out.
Fair enough.
Look, do it.
I did more research. I talked to the other ex before me. I found out stuff.
Oh, snap. All right. I know we're getting messy on a Friday.
I know we're about to go to fair foul. Bo's actions during that time was definitely fair.
Yeah, I agree. Let's do it. And today's edition of Mic'd Up, the fair foul edition of Mic'd Up, brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style, one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. What a fine place to go watch college football and NFL over the weekend.
100%. Fair or foul, the Falcons will name a president of football by the end of next week. Fair or foul?
Fair. I think it'll be by Monday.
I'm going to fair, and I'm going to one-up, Bo. I'm going to say by Sunday. Let's just throw it all out there. Fair.
Yeah, I guess I should say by the end of the weekend.
There you go. But, yeah, that wouldn't be Monday.
Well, it would be Sunday. It could be like
semantics.
Sunday at 11:59.
Yeah. Fair or foul? Given the FanDuel news, we'll see more baseball teams create their own regional network over the next few years, just like the Cubs.
Foul, because I don't think it's financially feasible for half the league.
I think it is. I think it's more than you realize. What is it? Was it 9 yesterday that didn't re-up?
Yes, they canceled. I would
say that there's going to be a couple of those that definitely sub it out, and you know. Just like the Braves would do here, send it down to Turner and say, hey, this is what we want to do. This is what we want to create. Here's what the talent is. I would say, yeah, there's going to be a couple of them. I don't know that all 9, but yeah, I would say there's going to be a couple of franchises that make it happen and see that there is a monetary opportunity.
Invest now, make money on the back end.
Exactly.
That's what's going to happen. All right, fair or foul. Mike McDaniel will take an interview of some kind in Atlanta over the next month.
Go ahead, Bo. I want to hear you answer this one first.
I was trying to not answer everything fair.
Is that just a stand-off? Like, oh, he's got it.
I tend to think that it's foul. However, I will say fair just from the basis of that it could be OC, it could be analyst, it could be all kinds of jobs. I think
analyst.
I personally think he'll have an OC job in the league. Look. My thoughts on his press conferences and how he comes off and all that kind of stuff and what kind of leader he is aside, he's a very good offensive mind. And I thought he's done a good job at drawing up game plans at times, especially against us. So
sure.
I think the league recognizes that, you know, game recognized game. And so I do think he'll get an interview here and other places as an OC
and a
job.
I'm leaning – when you asked it going into the break, I started leaning towards foul, and I think I'm going to stick with it because I think that simply put – he's probably already going to have a job before we're ready to interview offensive coordinators. That's my thought. I think he's already got one lined up with the Lions. I think I saw that yesterday. That would be a really good place for him to land, considering the talent they have on offense, the playmakers, and everything else they have in place. I think that would be a good spot.
But after you've lived in Miami.
Yeah, Detroit.
Do you want to really do that?
Detroit to the French. I don't know. I mean, like, odds are he's going to go somewhere colder than Miami, so he's going to have to live with it one way or another.
Odds are.
Well, he wears sweatpants everywhere he goes anyway.
Some shit.
All right, fair or foul, getting back to work this week was surprisingly easier than you thought.
I say fair. It took me a day and a half probably to kind of snap back into that mode. What morning was it? Was it Tuesday? You know, I walked in here and I was like, man, I actually feel really good.
Yeah, we both said Tuesday morning, I woke up before my alarm.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I was like, man, I feel very spry.
And when you wake up before a 3:30 alarm.
Yeah, exactly.
It was weird for me because I did come back Friday, but it's fair, but it was a weird week because it's just one that was a heavy week with Trey getting traded. I still haven't seen an email that's official, but that, you know, other than Shams, but like with the Trey stuff and all this news with the team, it was easy to come back and do shows because the content was there. It just were heavier shows than we normally like to do.
To
it feels like
about.
After that press conference, it was like, you know, it was like a big burp, and now we can kind of come back and have fun and just kind of like we know where the frame. I had a little bit
Man
of anxiety.
Man said he made some room. Made
we
some
got
room
relief.
For
sweet relief.
I'm not going to – the last thing I wanted to do is come in here after a press conference like we had a few years ago and be like, it feels like there are more questions than answers. I really feel good about the structure moving forward and where, you know, and the reset of the franchise.
Fair or foul, we will see more NFL players wearing the girlfriend wifey shirt before the playoffs are over.
Foul. Foul. Girlfriend wifey, no. It's a and Trevor has a daughter, right?
But who was the other one wearing a wifey shirt?
It was Ingram. Was it Ingram?
Not Ed Ingram.
Evan Ingram.
Evan Ingram. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm going to say foul.
I'll say fair. Copycat league. I don't know.
We need to start getting like Simone some commission on those there too, by go. The
well,
way.
Well, I don't. I think she brought it to our attention. I'm not sure she invented it. But.
Nah, she found a link. It was already a thing. I don't know if it's, you know, as popular as it was, you know, then, but she definitely saw
my,
a link.
My wife's
Instagram.
Given the link to three different people since.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
Well, that's hateful.
I was so confused how Lindsay found the exact shirt, and Dylan just like nonchalant is like, oh, you just like Google girlfriend shirt. And I'm like, that's a
wow.
thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
What if I made that? So my 40th birthday, where did we go? Cancun. And
not the restaurant, the actual place.
No, the actual place.
It was like, shocker.
The actual, we went with our neighbors, the actual day of my birthday, the guys had swim trunks that had my face all over them, like this one picture. And then the girls had like hats. But like, what if I just gave Amy a shirt with my picture all over it like that? What if I did the girlfriend shirt for Amy?
Did you like it? Was everyone wearing your face everywhere?
I thought it was kind of.
Where was it located on their own?
Well, it was all over, but
incoming pause.
But yeah, there was probably one or two where it kind of landed in odd spots. But it was all over. It was just like multi. It was just like my face, my one picture, just like
a myriad.
Yeah, I thought it was very kind. I thought it was a cool gesture of my friends. But you know me, I'm very humble, so I don't need
that. You wouldn't do it for your own wife. That's a shame.
But my thing is, if you put your face on a shirt for Amy and you expect her to wear it,
exactly.
Then when she reverses it, you would have to return the favor.
Yeah, and exactly. You've already gone on record saying you would never do that.
Yeah, so you have to go back on that.
Yeah, right? I wouldn't wear. No, I don't. That's not my style.
But you want Amy
almost,
to, but you want it to be Amy's style?
What is your style? For the love, what is your style?
Hoodie and basketball shorts.
All right, we got to go because we've got the owner of Football Gameplay and college football analyst for CBS Sports HQ, Emory Hunt, is going to be
an analyst.
Next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.